Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Yay. Hooray. Always love to celebrate dads. You guys are all amazing. Have a great dad. And my dad's very sentimental these days. And so he is, he loves when I send him cards with lots of gushy words. And he's always been a very strong and very kind of, I would say, closed, like macho, like you wouldn't know what was going through his mind. But now he just turned 74, and he's becoming very sentimental and more emotional. And so so when I send him a card, I'll just like, okay, Dad, just read it when you want to. So he'll read it, and then later on he'll come back and he'll say, he'll just have tears in his eyes, like, you always have the best words to say. So I sent him two cards from a dad perspective and from a grandpa perspective. And, of course, now he's a great-grandfather, which we're so excited that he gets to, you know, share that and love on Trenton the way that he did my boys. So, anyway, I just appreciate you dads and for being fathers. And, you know, they say that anybody can be a father. It takes to be really amazing to be a dad. And I love my daddy, and so I got to bless him this morning. So anyway, I'm going to do a little bit of review because some of it was missed last week because of the recording, and we all got into it so fast that we forgot to hit record. I finally did my PowerPoint presentation. Remember, this last 21 days is about procrastination for me. And so that was one of the things on my list. And so I finally did. I'm not professional at this at all. It took me a while to even figure out to do a PowerPoint, and that's part of my procrastination, is learning something new. So to do this PowerPoint, I just have a few slides just to kind of give you an idea about our thoughts and what they look like, you know, with imaging. But we're not going to do that yet because I wanted to talk to you about the connection with our brain and how everything fits together with God and how God designed us in our brain. So we talked about, in fact, you can still see it here on the board. When you're born into the world, you are a spirit. You're a spirit that has a mind and it has a body. Then when we become born again, we become connected with the Holy Spirit, which then empowers us to be who he has called us to be and to do what he's called us to do. Okay, so we've got your spirit, then we have your mind or your soul. I'm going to put mind, soul here. And then your body. So what's really amazing is that your mind has one foot in the door of the spirit and one foot in the door of the body. So your body is, your brain is part of that because it's the physical part of you, right? But your mind is part of the brain, okay? So have you heard that saying, two natures beat within my breast? One is cursed, the other is blessed. The one I love, the other I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. So that's what happens with us here. When we get plugged in with the Holy Spirit, our spirit then becomes alive to God. And our spirit knows things that our mind brain doesn't know yet. But when we start thinking, it's when this part of us, our brain and our mind, we start thinking and we're focusing on God. That's why it's so important to think about God and thank him, and worship and praise are also important, because what it does is it makes this connection here go beyond here and into your mind, so that the spirit of God speaks to your spirit, and then your mind can understand what the Spirit is saying. Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. This scripture popped in my head. And well, actually, the scripture did, but I couldn't remember where it was, so I had to do some digging. Thank God for Strong's Concordance. This is so exciting to me because I've known the scripture for a really long time, but when you read it in light of this, it totally helps you understand where people are who don't know God yet. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Is that amazing? Does that totally make sense to you now when you understand this connection? When we talk to people about God that don't have that connection here, it doesn't make sense to them. They cannot wrap their brain around it. It's stupid. It's foolish. They're like, you don't know what you're talking about. And you're like, don't, you know, when you just hear somebody talking, you're like, you just want to say, don't say that. Don't say that. You don't realize the power of your words. So what's so amazing to me is that your spirit, let me just erase this real quick, so we're going to talk about, there's three parts. I just love how God just does everything like in threes a lot. So there's three parts to your spirit. There's your conscience, which everyone has a conscience, right? I mean, you're born with that. Our spirit is our true self. I mean, when we're born, we are a spirit that has a body, right? So your spirit is your conscience. Intuition. And communion. So with your spirit, you have your conscience, your intuition, and your communion. Now, how many of you, you remember Robert telling the story about the wasp nest behind the door? That was his intuition working. That is the spirit on the inside of you. Everybody has that. And science has proven that women tend to be more intuitive than men do, and I think that's because when God took Eve out of man, there's part of man that went. You know, and so men, not everybody, I mean, everyone has intuition, don't get me wrong, but a lot of times the balance between the husband and the wife, it's knowing that strength and having that intuition of that knowing. Like, you can walk into a store. Have you guys ever just walked into a store and you just have a knowing that you probably shouldn't be in the store? Or walked into a room and you just have this knowing, like, I really shouldn't be here. And you can't really, it doesn't go through your mind yet about why shouldn't I be here? But the spirit knows things that your mind doesn't understand yet. That's why you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have understanding, wisdom comes from understanding the knowledge. You can fill yourself full of knowledge, but if you have no way of knowing how to apply it, then it is worthless. Amen? Okay, so your spirit, this is your spirit, conscience, intuition, and communion. And your soul, mind, soul is your intellect, it is your will, and your emotions. Now remember when I talked about the emotion, the emotions are actually hooked to every single branch of every thought of tree that you have. There's an emotion attached to it, and that's why it's so important. Your conscience is what tells you when you are in toxic thinking. Next week, we're going to talk about stress and the three stages of stress and how you can eliminate stress. And guess how you eliminate stress? Anybody tell me? In your thoughts. It's between the ears. You can eliminate stress in your life if you can handle what's going on between the ears. In your mind. It's in your mind. So your intellect, that is the whole thinking process. It's how well you can take in information, like when you're listening to me right now, you're thinking. You're thinking all the time. And so it's how well you're taking in the information And as you're thinking, what's happening is it's going through this whole process I'm going to show you on the slide. And how well you think determines on how strong that thought is going to be and how well you're going to be able to bring it back and bring it back. So when you're sleeping, you're still thinking, but you're sorting thoughts. Your brain is constantly sorting. It's going through and saying, oh, that's a strong one. We're gonna reinforce it. Oh, this one's a weak one. We're going to wipe it out. We're going to wash it. It's going to go away. You're not going to be able to remember it the next morning. So it's your brain is constantly go, 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 24/7. It's constantly working for you. God designed us in his image to be strong, to, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:7 says that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, right? That's who he is. And so he says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. That comes in its learned behavior. Let me tell you a quick story about, I needed to send in Michael's estimated tax, and I was reading on it how, you know, I wrote how much it was supposed to be, and it needed a Social Security number. Well, he's had a Social Security number since,
he was born.
Yeah, probably just real early. And so I have known his Social Security number, but I haven't used it for many years. He's 27. I haven't needed to, you know, bring up his, but, so I couldn't, I was thinking, okay, Michael's Social Security number is, it wouldn't come to me. So I went on doing other things. I was getting other stuff ready to go to the mail and just sitting there. Well, when I got to the post, I left it undone because I was trying to get a hold of him, but I couldn't get a hold of him. So when I got to the post office, I leaned over and it came to me. So the whole time, do you understand, the whole time my brain is going through this circuitry of hundreds and hundreds of circuits to retrieve information that I had stored.
And you're still young.
Yeah, I'm still young, exactly. Right.
Just wait, it takes a while.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. If it's not used, then it's going to be lost. You know, that's not a good term, but if it's not used, then it's lost on the inside of you. I mean, it's there, but as far as retrieving it, what do you do? And so a lot of times people, they're like, how do you know all these scriptures? How did they just come up? Well, because I, from the time that I got filled with the Holy Spirit, became ravenous for his word, because it changed me.
Amen.
It changed me. And so as you are studying and meditating on the word of God, it's doing physical things on the inside of you. You know, they say that an inward experience has an outward expression. And so whatever's going on the inside of you, it will be expressed. And how many of you have, somebody's told you, you wear your feelings on your face. I know exactly where you're at. When I see you, it's like, I know if you're in a good place or if you're in a bad place. Amen? We are all kind of like that. God does that. It's intentional. That's how it is. We are the body of Christ. And that's what we're called to love one another and to encourage one another and to equip one another and to help us snap out of it and to get into faith-filled thinking. Amen?
Yep.
Okay, Johnny, you ready? We'll do a really quick... I have my two trees here. You see, I have a healthy plant here that's like a tree, flourishing with flowers and fruit. And this is, I found this out, and it was still had a really good root on it. I could not even pull it up out of the ground. It was so rooted in the ground, but I finally broke it off so I could bring it so I could show it to you. So we'll talk about this in a second. Okay, go ahead and get the lights. Okay. This is one thought that has just grown and grown and grown and grown. So there's a lot of things attached to it. Like, so let's say someone has studied history, and they've studied... let's say American history. And so this tree would represent the person who's thinking about it has created a lot of super healthy thoughts that they're going to be able to retrieve and go back to. And the different colors really are dyes that scientists use to show the different places so you could actually see it, because it was such a thick cluster of dendrites. These are all these little things are called dendrites, which hold the thoughts. Okay? All right, go to the next one. Now this, right here, this is the actual neuron that starts the thought. So like, let's say you start thinking about something brand new that you know nothing about. it's going to start here, and then all of these little things coming off of it, those are dendrites. Those are your branches that are just now starting. So each one of these is going to hold information about something that you're studying about with this one thought. And it's only going to hold information about that one thought. That's why when you have lots of stuff on the inside, it takes your brain sometimes a little while to bring it up because it's being stored in your non-conscious. And so it takes a while for the circuitry to go, okay, go to the next one because I think it shows, oh no. Okay, so this is your thoughts, imaging, and all of the dark, black doesn't mean bad. That's dye so that you can actually see what's going on. But see these dark patches? Toxic thoughts. That's toxic. That's toxic. So what happens is as we recognize what the toxic thought is, and we start recognizing this isn't healthy. This is in your brain. So like, let's say, let me just use myself for example. Frank told me that he was going to video today so that we could catch this on video. He told me this yesterday. So I got a little panicked about it. I was like, oh, I don't want to be videotaped. I don't want to worry about, you know, what I look like. I don't want all those things. Fear. Total fear, the whole thing. And so it just, and how do you know you're in fear? It's because of how it makes you feel. Your heart starts pounding a little bit. You may start sweating. Like you close up, like you can't talk. So I started thinking about this, and I realized that's attached to something toxic on the inside of me. It wasn't the fact that Frank says, hey, I'm going to try to video this so that we can all see what you're talking about. It was all about me. And so that caused me to go into a fear mode. And so I had start. So once you recognize, you start asking yourself, ask, think, change. You choose. And I can say, that's because I made it all about me. And it's not about me. It's about God. It's about helping people understand what's happening and how our brains work. And so it doesn't really matter. It can't matter. And so once I started thinking like that and said, Father, it's all about you, I just thank you so much that you gave me an opportunity to learn about this because it's helping me.
Yes.
If it doesn't help anybody else, I know that it's helping and it's changing me. And I've heard from all of you, some of you this week, and I know that it is helping you. So all these little wispy places, all these little lines, these are all branches, and these are all thoughts that are attached. So that's what you want to have in your mind when you get into toxic thinking. This is bad. And next week we're going to talk about what that does when you go into the stress mode. Okay, go to the next one. Let's see what it is. That's just another, that's the same thing. That's just another picture of it. Just the toxicity. It totally looks different in the imaging whenever you're looking at healthy and not healthy. Okay, go to the next one. Okay. This is a graphic that someone did, but it helps you understand that when I started thinking about Michael's social security number, what happened was that all these impulses, these electric impulses, are shooting through all these networks looking for information. It's amazing. It's constantly looking for information. And so this is where it starts. This is the neuron, and then these are the dendrites coming off of it. And see how they can be intertwined with tons of different things. And one of the things she said, it looks like spaghetti and meatballs when you look at it, because there's just all these little balls and then all these little strings going everywhere. And she said it really looks like spaghetti and meatballs. Okay, go to the next one. Okay, now this is an actual neuron right here. And so these are the strong, healthy branches that are coming off that show that how this thought started. It's all healthy and strong. And see where this is pointing right here? These are all those little lights that you saw in the first the slide right before this. And so these are all, actually, if you can see it live, they're flashing and they're actually creating, it's electromagnetic, and so what it's doing is it's creating this, it's so crazy, I have a hard time explaining it. It's with chemicals and electricity on the inside of you, it is actually creating this line that's going to hold thought. Like, as you're thinking, your mind is doing this. Yes.
And also, the kids, why their thoughts are all over the place is because the myelin sheath that insulates those.
Right.
It starts from the brainstem, and through the years, it moves from the back to the front.
Yeah.
So until you're about 21, they're even going even more wild.
Exactly, exactly. And even 25 is when actually you can have wisdom. That's what they say. Exactly right. 25 is when you actually might start seeing thoughts that are actually producing wisdom. Because remember, in the spirit, the mind has to learn what the spirit's saying, right? It has to be that connection with your spirit and your mind. All right, let's go to the next slide real quick just to see. Okay, here's some healthy thoughts. Black's not bad. These are all good, healthy thoughts. These are new thoughts that are starting back here. They're just new. These are stronger. And the more you think, the more that you build. So it starts, see how it looks like a tree? Isn't that incredible? Mm-hmm. Of course, it actually looks like my bad tree, but this is actually a really good, healthy tree, putting off really good branches, and that's considered healthy down here and up there. Okay, I think that's all right. So the next one is about, yeah, go back. I'm not going to do that this time. Okay, let's turn the lights back on.
Were these taken with electron microscope?
I'm sorry?
Were these taken with electron microscope?
One of the, yes. It's I can't remember exactly what it's called. It's an imaging that they're able to go in and take the picture. I mean, I'm not a scientist. It totally blows my mind. So if you want to Google neuroscience, because that's all about the brain, and you will see all of these amazing different things come up about it. It's incredible. Yes, Miss Patty?
What book are you getting this from? Because I Googled her.
Yes.
And she has like five or six.
She has two books that I have read. The first one is called Who Switched Off My Brain? And then the one that I'm reading right now is How to Switch On Your Brain. Switch On Your Brain is what it's called. And that's where I feel like it's really been helpful, because she's actually giving you steps that you can take to recognize the toxic thought and then know what to do with it. Because in the first one, it was like, I know I've got this. And so it's all about renewing the mind, right? Yes, ma'am?
Would you just write down her name?
Yes, absolutely.
I can't. Yes. Her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf.
I'm the vine, you are the branches, here's branches. The tree of life is all of that.
I'm sorry?
Amazing.
Not a problem. She is Dr. Lee. You can find her on YouTube. She's spoken in lots of churches, and I do little blips here and there. She has a whole blog about these five steps of taking, you know, as far as your focus, reflection, and gathering your thoughts. And so you're sitting and thinking about it. But the most important thing, she says, before you ever start, is to be focused on God. Because what happens is if you don't bring God into it, then the devil comes in with condemnation and guilt and all these things like, I can't do this. It's too much. It's too big of a deal. And if you think about Sleeping Beauty is captured and put into this huge tower, and there's briars and all of these vines around it that you can't get to it. She's like represents the promise. And until you, when you look at it, it's overwhelming. Sometimes if you've had a toxic thought that has been in your life forever, and you look at it, you're like, how can I ever deal with this? How can I ever cause it to dissolve and go away? But really, when you look at it, it's nothing. It's something that can easily be dissolved simply by changing your focus and meditating on the things that are lovely and true and kind and a pure and good report. You know, we talked about that last week, Philippians 4:6-8, if you read that. So when you look at this toxic thought, this represents the toxic thought. And so see these little branches that are barely hanging on? That just shows that it's weak, and that those are fixing to fall off, and that when you go to sleep, they're all going to be washed away. So as I meditate and I'm thinking about God's love for me and how He has designed me in His image, and I confess the word, Psalms 139, over myself, and Proverbs 31 is one of my favorite ones, is because what happens is it starts painting a picture, And the negativity that you've received from the world or something that someone said to you and you meditated on it and you thought about it, like somebody just says, well, let me give you an example. I have a girlfriend, and she has four brothers. And her brother told her one time when she was in her teenage years that she had a horse face. And he was just joshing with her, he was just kidding with her, but it really hurt her feelings. But what happened was, instead of replacing that and saying, oh, you're such a jerk, you know, and just letting it go, and because remember, we have the choice to take the thought or to let it go. She meditated on it, and she thought about it, and she looked at herself in the mirror, and all she could see was horse face. And so what happens is that the more you think, the more it grows. So it started growing and growing in her to where she became so, the way she felt about herself, her whole, what's it called? Your self-esteem was just trashed because of that one thing that somebody said. Now, how many of you have ever experienced that? Somebody said something to you and it just, well, that happened with me with my dad when I was in high school, and I wouldn't even go into what happened, but it's something that I've had to deal with in my adult years. And finally, it's just like, I finally got it. I finally overcame what happened because I chose to.
Right.
But then there's other people who choose to meditate on it and think about it, and you think and think and think, and pretty soon you become so obsessed with that you become of no use. God can't use you because your thought life has encompassed who you are. So it's so important what you're thinking. And if you don't take anything away from these classes, is that no thought should ever go unchecked that you're having. So even when you're sitting here, and whatever you're thinking about, if you're thinking about something else, then that means that you're not focused, that you're not thinking, and that you're going to build branches that are going to reproduce, right? If you're thinking about, oh my gosh, did I remember to turn off the iron when I left the house? And see, that's what our brain does. But so what you do is, when you're thinking that, redirect, no, I'm focusing on what she's saying. I'm focusing on what, this is what I want for my life. Okay, yes, Skip.
If we have a second, I've been researching in deer the most common problem that they have. And I won't go into all of that, but I'm going to give a presentation on this at the January TDA convention.
Oh, awesome.
But as it applies to us today, what fear, basically what you're talking about with toxic thoughts is things that result in fear.
Right, exactly.
Whether it's fear of failure or finance, whatever.
Yes,
it's fear.
It is fear-based. Absolutely.
Okay. Physiologically, what fear does to your body is cause adrenaline, epinephrine, to be released.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gives you the sweaty feeling, the high blood pressure, all those physiological effects.
Right.
But epinephrine only lasts just a few minutes in your body. Mm-hmm. As soon as the epinephrine is metabolized and eliminated, guess what's released? Plasma cortisol.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cortisone is the original immunosuppressant that DeBakey used decades ago in heart transplant patients. They've got many better ones now. But what cortisol's physiological effects on your body are is to make you deposit fat, you eat more, it has a very strong immunosuppressant effect where your immune system's not working properly. So cancer, infection, disease will
right.
be much more prevalent, able to invade your body. So these effects are real,
yes.
and they're explainable. They're
yes.
not just something that this wonderful lady conjectures
no,
about.
No, exactly.
They're as real as anything.
Yes.
So what God tells you is that these thoughts can be overcome.
Yes.
Exactly. And the fear that results from failure or not
right.
thinking you're pretty or
right, right.
whatever it
yeah,
is
yeah.
can be overcome.
Yeah, exactly. The thing about it is all those chemicals in your body are good. I mean, you have to have cortisol in your body. You have to have it. You have to have the adrenaline. You have to have the epinephrine. All of those things are good in healthy doses because they all help you. They all... in your immune system is your body's way of protecting your inside. Your adrenal system is your way of protecting your outside. I mean, God has designed us perfectly. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. He has created us perfectly, and we're the ones who make the choice through fear to mess it up. So when you think about Jesus, and as he's part of the Trinity, and he came to earth to show us, he came to show the way of how to be in communion with God, and how to, he spent time with God, he spent time with people, so he had his relationship here, and he had it here, and then when he was confronted with the fear, how did he fight it? With the Word of God. Every single time, it was the Word of God that was coming out of his mouth. Whether he was in the temple, he opened it up, he read it. When he was confronted with the devil in the wilderness, it was the Word that came out of his mouth. That's why it's so important. And you may say, I don't know the Word like you do, Tracy. I don't know the Word. But all you have to do is start somewhere. Open up your God's promises. Find it. I just was picking up Trenton on Wednesday, and I went in to get his blanket in his parents' room, and I saw the praying the Word on the bed, and I just rejoiced and thanked God, and I just prayed over, you know, their room, that the Word of God that had been implanted in them would save their souls. And that's what our heart's desire is for our kids, isn't it? Is that they'll have it better than we have it for ourselves.
Tracy?
Yes, sir.
I just think it's kind of cool that you have that arrow.
Yeah.
And the shield of faith, the thing shall take captive the thought, use that thought, and turn it back around. That's what Jesus did.
Amen.
Took that negative thought, grabbed that arrow, and turned it around and spoke the Word.
Exactly.
Did you get that on purpose or just do that so I can get that revelation?
I did just so you can get the revelation. Actually, this is an arrow that doesn't have a tip on it that Trenton loves. It's his pole. He calls it his pole, and so I was looking for something that I could actually point with without having to get up there with my fingers, and so it's a pointless arrow that is actually a toy for Trenton and a visual trigger for that, so praise the Lord. Okay, we're... Yes?
No question. You know, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but yet some fear is good. I mean, because it... You know, it releases adrenaline or whatever, flight.
Right. That's your adrenal system. Yes, exactly.
And but he didn't give us that spirit, I guess, to stay in that. Or
right, exactly. Yeah. I'm going to talk about that next week, so let's not get in there. But there's three stages of stress. And the first stage of stress is healthy. That's what helps us to think. That's what helps us to focus. And I'm going to talk about that next week. But that is that is the part. It's not really fear, but it is... It is a stress that releases chemicals that help us to learn and to grow and to remember, and it's healthy. It's when we get into stage two and stage three of stress that, and we stay there, that causes us to be here in the toxic parts of our brains. Who else has something to say? I appreciate it.
Jesus himself underwent tremendous stress.
Yes.
So seriously that he was sweating blood.
Right. Exactly. When I think about, you know, everything that Jesus did was significant. And one of the things that I really believe is that when he took that crown of thorns, that it was for us. And he, you know, he's pierced for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. And so when that crown of thorns was pressed in his head and he bled from that, that he did that for us, for our minds, because it says we have the mind of Christ. Right? We have the mind of Christ. And so,
can I get you to clarify one other thing,
yes,
too?
Yes, of course.
The three parts of the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really get into that very much.
Yeah, the communion part.
Right.
Is that our Spirit communion with God?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so when you become born again, that's what's so beautiful, is that people who don't, are not connected to the vine yet, they don't understand it. That's foolish to them. It's like, how did God tell you that?
Right.
How did... God told you?
Yes.
I mean, how did you? It's foolishness. So what happens is that communion is our worship. And when we focus on God, he's wanting that relationship with us. He's wanting that connection. And I want to find some kind of something electrical that, you know, you can plug into to show that the power comes from being plugged in with God. You know, it doesn't come from us. And that's where New Age gets it totally screwed up, because they feel like we are the power. You are the power. Well, we are created in God's image, but unless we're connected with the vine, you will not grow. You will not live. You will die if you are not connected to the vine. You will die, and the Bible even says that, you'll die spiritually, and you'll be totally disconnected from God. So that's why it's so important, is that connection, that spirit, it's a Holy Spirit connection. And communion with Him is what keeps us sane. Honestly. Your conscience is going to be the thing that lets you know it's right or wrong. Like, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. And the intuition is just something that it's just that knowing, it's just having that, you know that you know that you know. And that's what your intuition is. It's just that knowing. Without understanding it in your brain, you know, right. Without it going through your brain, it's you knowing that's good or that's bad. A lot of times I'll just notice it because of some place that I'm at or a conversation I'm having with somebody over the telephone. You just have a knowing. It's just like, I just know. And sometimes the Holy Spirit even tell you what to say. Miss Jeannie.
Robert wasn't deciding whether it was morally right or wrong.
No.
He just knew something was wrong.
Exactly.
And that was the intuition.
Exactly. It was like, okay, I know there's something about this door. But until,
it's
you know.
It's a clue to the future.
Right. The clue to the future.
We
want to
see
good.
It. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I think I've opened up tons and tons of cans today. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to come and just be your servant. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for their hearts that are open to receive and hear from you. And as we go through this week, I just thank you that you answer all of the questions that weren't answered. And as we are connected to the vine, I thank you that you are the one who nourishes us and gives us everything that we have need of. And I just thank you that you just bring all things to our remembrance, Lord. I just praise you and thank you. I just bless all the dads today. I ask that you just bless them with a special blessing of peace and rest and fun and whatever their hearts desire today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.